Live at AsylumFantasySports.com and heard round the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. It is the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
We are Fleeger and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum. Wherever you may be listening to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show, we thank you. And please drop us a line at AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com.
On Twitter, still some Week 17 matchups going on. Hit us up at Asylum Football.
Yeah, keep pounding your questions because we were coming up to our final Sunday in the inside slant on Sunday, and to get you to the last remaining leagues going to championship week.
That's
here.
Right. What do you think about leagues going to week 17, Rick? You for it or against it? I am actually in none that went to week 17. I wrapped it all up last week, and we'll get into the last segment of the show here. We're going to talk about some championship stories. I'm sure you all have them. Feel free to call in or to tweet us at Asylum Football with your stories, and we're going to talk about my favorite thing to talk about, Rick, and that's me.
Well, yeah, and I like talking about myself, so since we're both here, we can talk about us. But, you know, if you want to talk about you, give us a call, 646-478-4679. And I don't know, Rick. I've been in leagues that go to week 17. You look at the league right now. I mean, we're going to get into it in a little bit here, but basically, there's not many teams going to be resting players.
No.
That is not really the norm.
Yeah, this is the first year that happened. We're going to cover that in a couple different ways in this show. Don't forget to mention the Armed Forces Radio Network at armedforcesradionetwork.co, at the AFRN on Twitter. Give them a follow there. Armed Forces Radio Network on Facebook. Check them out in all those places. Let them know you're here in the Asylum. But, Rick, we're going to get into that in a couple ways. I want to talk about in the second segment. We're just going to look at the NFL in general. And as an old curmudgeon like you are and as a young, nubile man that I am, I know you like that word.
Yeah.
You know, is this NFL?
I'm laughing at young.
Is this iteration of the NFL for you? That's the question we're going to ask, and I want everybody to think about out there. We'll get into that. But let's do a little fantasy football to start, Rick. Get into the headlines. Big news breaking this afternoon. Aaron Rodgers looks like he is going to start this week in what amounts to the NFC North Championship game this week. Big news for the Packers, who remain competitive yet couldn't win much with Matt Flynn at the helm. Get Aaron Rodgers back just in time.
Yeah, Matt Flynn didn't kill him, but he certainly wasn't lifting him to the top. They're staying, you know, to his credit, they stayed pace with the Bears who've been floundering around, and, of course, the collapse of the Detroit Lions, which we'll get into a little bit later. I think he's coming in the nick of time. I mean, that Bears defense is a mess. They can't stop anybody on the ground, and consequently, they're going through the air at him. Lance Briggs didn't seem to do anything for him last week, getting back into the lineup. And, you know, I really like the Bears going into this year, but the injuries they suffered on defense, I'm not liking it. I think the Packers are going to take them.
No, you've got Aaron Rodgers coming back. Eddie Lacy looks okay with that ankle. Looks like he's good to go. Randall Cobb looking like he might be back, obviously, with Jordy Nelson, the weapons they have there. This is a team, Rick. This is interesting. You get Aaron Rodgers back if he doesn't have a lot of rust. And he's been out for a long time. It's 7 weeks, I believe,
He's been throwing for 3 weeks, though. I know it's not the same thing as game shape.
If he can get it together and as bad as that, if this team gets into the playoffs, this team has got a legitimate Super Bowl run in it. This is a team. Aaron Rodgers is the kind of quarterback that doesn't exist a whole lot in the NFC. There's more of these guys in the AFC. What I'm looking for, while it's not wrapped up, I'm trying to find a team who can go into Seattle and win, because I think that's how you end up going to the Super Bowl, which is such a tough place to play. Packers, look, they're not the 85 Bears, but this is a good team with Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback that can go into Seattle on championship weekend and win a football game. So if this team can get in, it's strange. They're this close to being out, but if they can get in, that's a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, this is a real litmus test for them, because if they do get by Chicago and win the NFC North, okay, now the rust is kind of shaken off of Rodgers, and the confidence goes sky high, especially if Cobb comes back. He's shaking off a little rust.
And they're going to get a home game.
Exactly. If they get by the Bears. And, I mean, that's a tall order. Like, the Bears are still a pretty dangerous team. They can throw some points up on the board. However, if going back to what I said, if they get by them, I agree with you. They're one of these teams. They're the real wild card out there that can go into anywhere and beat somebody.
Oh, no question about it. So let's talk about your fantasy team then, Rick. Somehow you've gotten to your championship after losing Aaron Rodgers. Probably not a likely scenario, but let's just say you are. You trust Aaron Rodgers this week, you just throw him in your lineup. Is he a boom to fantasy players as much as he is to the Green Bay Packers?
I kind of doubt it, to be honest with you. I think Eddie Lacy, the running game in general, is going to be used heavily. You know, you could probably get 250 yards, maybe a couple touchdowns out of him. I don't think that's anything out of the realm of possibility, but I don't think I'd want to be relying on Aaron Rodgers missing 7 weeks and coming back to win me a Super Bowl.
Yeah, no question. I wonder who you're starting. If you lost Aaron Rodgers, probably isn't a whole lot better, so he might be worth the go. I agree with you. Eddie Lacy, a guy who won me a championship last week before he got hurt, and he could have made things a lot easier for me had he not got hurt the way he was rolling. I don't know how he doesn't run for 140 yards and a score or two, Rick, the way the Bears give up the running game and what Eddie Lacy's been doing. I think you see a big dose of that. I think you see a big dose of Starks as well if you're in some massive deep league or got some big injury concern. If you're looking for a real deep sleeper kind of guy, Starks could go in there in 10 carries and get himself 60 or 70 yards and a touchdown himself.
Yeah, I mean, you can run on the Bears, and that's – going to help Rodgers a lot. So, I don't know. This ought to be a good game. It's a must-see game, I believe. It's one of those must-see TVs.
Yeah, no question about it. The other big injury news on in the other direction, Rick, Tony Romo, boy, the Cowboys are sure like sort of enjoying pretending like he's going to be a go. However, I'm not buying it. Tony Romo looks like he's going to be out in what's going to be the NFC East Championship game this week against the Eagles.
Yeah, you got so much coming out of Dallas. You have Jason Garrett not saying that Tony Romo's not going to play. You have Jerry Jones saying Jason Garrett has a bright future in Dallas. And just everything just seems to be going every which way but right in Dallas right now.
Kyle Orton, can he beat Philadelphia this week?
Yeah. The way Philadelphia's playing, I don't think so.
That's a dangerous team as bad as they were.
It is, and it's not so much – look, for all of Dallas's problems, 75% of them are on defense.
True.
Which is why
true.
I don't like their chances of beating Philadelphia.
Yeah, picture what LeSean McCoy could do this week if you're still alive. DeSean Jackson after a very disappointing week last week. The tight end, the entire offense, Nick Foles, these are guys that – I think have a big week. Look, anything could happen. Boy, I am not a Cowboy fan, Rick, but I'm going to be rooting for the Cowboys this week. I want this soap opera in the first round of the playoffs. I want to play this game. But Tony Romo having himself an epidural, I thought that was reserved for women in labor, apparently. I'm curious how he's walking with this epidural. Doesn't that like numb you from where it hits down?
I know it sure numb my wife anytime she had him having children. But, you know, for a herniated disc, boy, I tell you what,
there's no chance he plays. This is just they think they're playing mind games on you. There's no way he plays, is there?
How dangerous could that be if you have a herniated disc that is numb and you don't know what you're doing to it out there?
That's just it. That's sort of the point of pain. You
right.
know when to stop.
Exactly.
So, well, we'll move on from that. I guess we'll keep an eye on it. I say if they would wheel Tony Romo out there, go ahead and sit him down this week. You've got to have a better option. Rick Dwayne Bowe likely out this week with a concussion. Probably won't play much anyhow. We wouldn't have played much anyhow. We'll get into that shortly. I found this interesting. Dez Bryant says he is going to play. He's got a back issue, but he says there's no doubt he'll play.
Much different game there in scenario. Yeah,
absolutely. And you talk about – we'll get into it when we talk our championship stories later on the show. Giving me a stroke as he went down early in that game after scoring the touchdown. There's an interesting story. CJ2K, Chris John, more like CJ900.
Yeah, he'll probably get 1K anyway.
Yeah, at least. So But set to make $8 million next year, and obviously the Titans already talking about restructuring his deal. Mr. Johnson says he's willing to restructure, however, he will not accept a pay cut whatsoever. I think this spells the end for Chris Johnson in Tennessee.
Yeah, I do too. That you can see the increased workload Sean Green's getting. And to his credit, and for all the bashing you've done on him, he's looked pretty good when called upon so far this year. And is he an every down back? I don't know, but I think that he can certainly be the base of your running game, as he proved with the Jets last year. They can get somebody else in there a lot cheaper to kind of foot the bill in his role.
Right.
And maybe get a nice draft pick for Chris Johnson somewhere right. along the line.
Yeah, and this team, they're not on the verge of a championship.
No.
So Sean Green can bridge the gap till you find that next guy in the draft, I think. So interesting to see in the right scenario, everybody's looking at a lot of other guys. Ben Tate, obviously, beat the big free agent running back
this
year.
Not making much of a case for himself this year,
well,
that's
for sure. Well, he
doesn't
seem to be, but he reminds me of Michael Turner when he finally became a free agent after backing up LT all those years. Here's an interesting one. He's been on the decline since that big year. Chris Johnson on the free agent market is going to be interesting to watch. I'll look forward to that in the offseason.
Yeah, and what really interests me is who, number one, who's going to gamble on him. And I'm not sort of so much a gamble, but boy, what system. If he got into the right system, he could still be dangerous.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the offense that throws to the back a lot. You know, a lot of those teams have that back. You think about the Eagles. You think about the Cowboys.
Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs. Those teams have that guy. Are there other teams that are trying to do it where he could fit in? Maybe that'll be a good topic for the summer, assuming this happens, which I have to think if he's not willing to take a pay cut from that for that $8 million, he's going to be gone.
Yeah, I do too. It's I just can't see him being in Tennessee. And, boy, I'll tell you who, somebody right off the bat that comes to mind, Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't know. They probably got Steven Jackson locked up another year or two. I don't know what
his contract
situation is.
I'm not sure if they do or not. But
similar situation. Chris Johnson a lot younger, though.
Yeah.
But that team could be out there. You look, Tampa Bay's got Doug Martin coming back. I'm trying to look at somebody who doesn't have a running back. Cleveland. Does it work in Cleveland? They desperately need a running back.
How much more, okay, number one, how much longer do you have faith in Jonathan Stewart, and how much left in the tank does D'Angelo Williams have with Carolina?
Neither one of them has seen a lot of success, but well, nice fit there in Carolina.
He's 32 years old, D'Angelo, and Stewart can't stay on the field more than two games. So, I mean, that's interesting. There's a lot of interesting scenarios out there to me. I really believe that.
Yeah.
New York Giants.
There's another team looking for a running back. I think the Ivory situation, you know, hasn't been a, I don't want to say a disaster, but
Wilson,
not what we
is he coming back?
Yeah,
with
Giants,
that neck? I don't know.
Team. Yeah, interesting. A lot of teams out there. We'll get into that this summer, Rick. So we hit on it a little bit as we are in week 17. And in the past, the reason I never supported your fantasy squad going to week 17, your season going to week 17, usually at this point, you got four or five teams resting starters, and you hated to see somebody have a good fantasy season and it come down to the waiver wire pickups for these good teams in Week 17. Fortunately, not the case this year. It looks like as of right now, all of our crack research staff, Rick, all they can come up with is Andy Reid saying the Kansas City Chiefs will work about a 50-50 split, get their starters some playing time and get them off the field. Rest their starters. So sadly for Jamal Charles owners, and it's very easy to believe Jamal Charles got you to your championship game. Don't think he's going to be a play this week. But Rick, that is the only team I can find that is saying they're even considering resting their starters.
Yeah, that's true. But on the same token, being in one of these leagues that goes to week 17, how would you like to be going to the Super Bowl and all of a sudden Jamal Charles is going to be rested? And I mean, that's one. There's a case right there. Do not go to week 17 in your fantasy league.
Yeah, just don't do it. And for all the reasons, I've heard the other reasons the other direction. The NFL plays 17 games, but it's fantasy football.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, teams have rested starters in weeks 15 and 16 as well. You can't go that far, but this happens so many times in week 17. I don't want to be the team that got there with this solid group of guys on solid teams. Half my team's only going to play. Well, here's the other thing to look at. The Bengals say they're not going to rest their starters. The Broncos say they're not going to rest their starters. they get up two or three scores, you bet they're going to. You're not going to see this guard or get behind for that matter either way. Once these games are decided, if they are halftime, third quarter, you're going to see guys get sat down. So do you factor any of that in? I don't think you're ever going to sit Peyton Manning. Say you're a No-Shaw Moreno owner, Rick. There's a good chance they go out there. Who are they playing this week? I don't even remember.
Oakland.
There's a good chance they're up 20 on Oakland at halftime.
Can anything change for Denver?
I think they can get – there's a wild scenario where they can get caught for the number one overall seed. So they're playing to clinch home field. I assume New England.
Yeah, New England, I guess, would be the only one. Well – and New England, when does New England play?
Let me pull them up right here.
Okay, Denver. New England plays at the same time Denver does. Cincinnati plays the 1 o'clock game. You know, so Cincinnati, if they win, now New England has something to play for.
Right, because they need Cincinnati needs a win and a New England loss, and they can get the number 2 seed.
Exactly. So, I mean, that is the only advantage you have there, but New England and Denver play at the same time. So you don't want to go into your Super Bowl if maybe you have, like, Tom Brady and No-Shaun Moreno that carried you to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And now, maybe they're not going to play.
Yeah, there may be no need for it at that point. So do you factor in a mid-level guy, Rick, if you have a lineup question? Do you take a chance that – I think Denver would be the most likely scenario. Do you take the chance that perhaps Denver gets up early and they start resting their starters early in the game and you lose some production there? Or going into it knowing, are you going to bench Jamal Charles? Let's not go. These are wild scenarios. We'll answer those Sunday on the slant if you face that situation. Jamal Charles, Rick, is half of Jamal Charles better than most people you have on your bench? Do you take the risk for him, or do you just try to replace him and set him down?
You know, it goes to how deep you drafted. But going to your point, half of Jamal Charles is probably better than most other backs you have to replace him. However, you know, McCusker could get a lot of work.
True.
You
reach for a guy like that in a flex, in a deep flex situation.
In a Super Bowl. See, that's the thing.
That's just it. It's, you're playing for everything.
And the real dangerous thing, you know, Kansas City's one scenario where I don't think Jamal Charles is totally out of the lineup. But how about No-Shaun Moreno? You're in the Super Bowl. They got Monty Ball who is coming along.
Why not give him some work?
Exactly.
Because what are the odds? Well, the odds are pretty good. New England lose or New England wins. So number one, you're going to need to get that win if you're Denver. However, what are the odds you lose it at half speed? They lose to Oakland. It's not likely to happen as long as Peyton Manning's playing. Moreno's a guy I'd worry about, and why not give Monty Ball some work? These are some situations you may face this week.
It is. It's strange. And does Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker stay in there the whole game?
Yeah, you know, Wes Welker's set to come back, but how many plays are they going to give him knowing it's not that big of a game?
Right.
You know, I think if we get word, and he's practiced this week, so I'm going to assume he'll have to pass the final test tomorrow. I'm going to assume Wes Welker's playing this week. If I have him sitting on my bench, I'm not going to touch him whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, we'll get into this a little bit later on, but we're going to take a break.
We'll be back. And we're back, Rick, live on the Armed Forces. Well, we're not live on the Armed Forces Radio Network, live on Blog Talk Radio, being heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network at the AFRN.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, I know a couple of things about you.
Oh, you do?
And since I do, I can actually make a conclusion about you.
One of them being the fact that I'm not wearing pants right now.
Okay, well, you never do. But that doesn't come to the conclusion I'm going to make. Okay, the first thing I know about you is I know what kind of a person you are.
Wonderful, but giving, caring.
I know what kind of a person you are.
Handsome.
Don't even try to
humanitarian type
anybody else.
The humanitarian type, Rick Flieger.
But I also know that you are an avid believer in Santa Claus.
I do. I believe in Santa Claus.
Sure. So putting the two together, I've come to the conclusion I know that you know the feeling of receiving coal in your stocking.
I do. I'm a fan of Santa. It's not a mutual thing. Santa, not a big fan of your boy.
Right.
I'll admit that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's naughty and nice.
Right.
You know, you don't fit the nice.
And then there's a third category that I can't say on the Armed Forces Radio Network's airwaves that I fall into.
But with all your disappointments with Cole and so forth,
a lot of
over
sad
the years,
Christmas mornings. Very
how would you
sad.
Like to be a Detroit Lions season ticket holder?
I heard this story.
Now, not only have you witnessed a total collapse, you're thinking, we have finally made it. We are going to get a division title. We're heading to the playoffs. You lose, you drop 5 of 6.
Yeah.
You're eliminated.
The division was handed to you.
Yes.
Both starting quarterbacks you're facing were out. It was handed to you.
You're eliminated from the playoffs. That's almost coal in your stocking.
True.
However.
True. Oh, it gets worse.
However, some lucky season ticket holders, as they were notified 3 or 4 weeks before the collapse that, you know, Lions are going to the playoffs, so
buy your tickets now.
Buy your tickets now. Well, they went and sent them tickets.
No.
They sent them playoff
on
tickets.
On Christmas.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's Christmas, right around the season.
That's
like
cruel.
Getting a truckload of coal.
Yeah, it's punching them in the face
exactly.
is what it is. So it's like being on that third list of Santas that I can't mention that I find myself on. Before we get into the topic of this segment, Rick, I just want to ask you a question. What were you doing on this day in 1919?
I wasn't alive.
That's not true.
No, you know that's not true. I wasn't born until 21.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Do you know what happened, Rick, this date in
1919?
Just some fun trivia.
Let's see, 1919, December 26th?
December 26th, 1919.
I'm going to just go out on a limb and say it had something to do with the Black Sox. Decision made by them.
No, but you're in the right sport. On this day, Rick, December 26, 1919, the Boston Red Sox sold the contract of one George H. Ruth to the Yankees for the handsome sum of $25,000, thus setting
the curse of the Bambino
began this day in 1919. So
well,
just a little fun fact there.
George Herman Babe Ruth.
Absolutely. So moving on, Rick, this segment, here's what I want to talk about. Two polar, why this show works, I think. We are two polar opposites in every single way. You're old, I'm young, I'm handsome. Yeah, well, it goes on and on and on. So
I'm smart.
Okay, fair enough. I'll give you that. So here's the question I'm going to pose to both of us.
I'm charming.
And I'll, charming?
Oh, my, yes.
Charming. I'm going to turn these mics on early one day and show all these listeners just how charming you are. Is this NFL for you, Rick Briggs? The NFL we see today. I've identified three things that mean, and this is going to give the answer to how I feel. I love the NFL. It is quickly slipping for me, Rick, to about my third favorite sport to watch.
As polar
behind college basketball and the NHL right
now. As polar opposites as we are, we have both discussed many times that there are a lot of phases of this game that are becoming unwatchable.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I think number one I know we're going to agree on is the penalties, the unnecessary roughness, the hitting in the league. And I want to start there. Then we're going to get into the officiating, Rick. It's easy to blame the officials. Never have I seen some of the disasters I've seen this year and going back to last year as well. And the parity in the league, Rick, that's where I want to spend the most time. Are you a fan of the parity? But let's swing back around. Rick, I'm watching the Monday night game, and it had a lot of bearing on my fantasy championships. Of course, you were sawing logs and sucking down ceiling tiles a half an hour before the game started, I believe. However, I stuck it out and watched the entire game. In that game,
I love DVR.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. In that game, Steven Jackson caught a ball in the flat. Dante Whitner, now the man has a reputation.
Right.
His hands aren't clean. Head up. Put his shoulder directly into Steven Jackson's chest. Blew him up real good.
Saw the play.
Flag comes down.
Yeah.
The league has gone from seems like a good idea, protect the defenseless guys, eliminate the concussions, to anytime anybody gets hit too hard, it must be a penalty, throw the flag. And we are seeing this over and over again. Now you can't hit them high. You can't hit them low. You can't do anything, period, Rick. You can't touch these guys. Where are we going? What direction are we heading with this?
I don't know exactly where the end is going to be. Somewhere along the line, it has to stop and almost reverse itself because it's going to hit a point where it is going to be detrimental to not only the fans watching the game, but also to the players.
Right.
Because they're not going to be playing the game. They are going to be playing the game A, not to get hurt. B, not to get penalized. C, not to get fined.
Right.
So they're not playing the game. I see this game today, and I would see Dick Buck as bankrupt in a year.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
I mean, the guy, and he hit with his shoulder. He was not a spear or any of that kind of thing.
And you don't have to do that anymore.
But he was 265 pounds of rage that blowed people up. As
you're not allowed
like
to do
say.
It. You're not allowed to do
exactly.
it anymore. Exactly. Because they were going to automatically call. It must have been a penalty, right? Look, you have to bend down to tackle. That's what you learn your first day of midget football. You bend at the knees. You hit low.
Right.
So any big hit's going to look like a head-to-head hit. Here's what a penalty. Here's what the spirit of the rule was. If you launch yourself headfirst into somebody else's head, yes, I agree that's a penalty.
Right.
Don't give me any more of this garbage where a defensive lineman, how many times have you seen this year, where a defensive lineman or a linebacker on a block reaches out, takes a swipe at the ball in the quarterback's hand, slaps him on the top of his head, and there's a 15-yard penalty for going, come on, nobody is getting hurt on that.
No, it's ridiculous. It probably, in at least 50% of the cases, the quarterback was bending over to get out of the way of the swat, so he gets hit on the helmet, and there's a 15-yard personal foul.
Well, and that's the other thing you see. Also part of when you see a hit coming, these ball carriers, receivers, running backs, whoever it is, get low to absorb the hit. Now you're turning what was a clean hit into a headshot. What's getting lost in all this is defenseless. Steven Jackson wasn't defenseless. He had the ball in his hand. He was looking upfield, and it was a clean hit. Now we're going to – are they going to equip them with some sort of – what's that gimmick where they measure the earthquakes? What's that thing called?
The Richter scale.
Richter. They're going to put a Richter gimmick.
Seismic meter.
There you go. Are you going to attach that to everyone, and there'll be a certain acceptable level of how hard the hit can be, or then it's a penalty? When does this crap stop? I can't watch it anymore.
I don't know.
Now you got the receivers whining that now they're getting hit low all the time, and they don't want to be hit low. And who was it? You had a story.
Tony Gonzalez going into his last regular season, well, his last game period as a player.
Right.
And he's been playing for what? 17 years now?
Something crazy like
17 years. All of a sudden, he's saying the NFL needs to do something about receivers getting hit low.
All right. So you can't hit them above the shoulders, and you can't hit them, I presume, below the waist then?
Apparently.
So you're going to hit everybody in the gut.
I guess.
How are you going to do that? How does that work? You can't do it.
I did see one interesting point about this. If they want to eliminate some of these high-speed collisions of defensive backs coming full steam at a defensive back, a wide receiver that's defenseless, then get rid of that five-yard chuck rule.
There you go.
Let them stay on them.
That's
now
perfect.
Now you don't have full speed.
You don't have that giant separation that they're getting now.
You know, let's go back instead of the five-yard thing, you know, the Mel Blount rule.
Right.
Started way back in the 70s. I mean, he'd mug him the whole way down the field.
40 yards downfield. He's still smacking you upside the head.
Right. You know, you can find a balance there.
Somewhere.
It's not that hard. You don't want to have all these high-speed collisions. Then let the defensive players play some defense the entire play. That is what it's getting to, is they don't get to play defense the entire play. So now they're beat on a pass play.
Right.
So they want to jar the ball loose. They want to.
It's the only choice you have.
Right. They want to put a good hit on the guy. They're not playing defense. It's terrible. I don't know how to go about there's no head slaps, obviously, from the old Deacon Jones days. The defense is such a handicap that, and of course, there's record scoring now. What was it? 2 weeks ago was the highest scoring week ever. You know, people say, oh, that's wonderful. No, it's not wonderful.
It's
There's
not
something
fun to
good
watch.
About a 21-17 game or a 17-14. That's a good game to watch.
Something, anything, than just back and forth and last team that has the ball wins. That's not for me. I'm not interested. And we're
it's like watching the Big 12 now.
Right, and I'm a fantasy football guy. Obviously, I like statistics, but I'll tell you what, you create no separation in fantasy football if we want to keep it at there, which is what we're supposed to be doing here. Then you have such little separation amongst players. Every team, every quarterback's throwing for 400 yards. Every team's putting up 40 points a game. How do you draft your fantasy team? There's no separation between the skilled players, and it's just so tough to watch. This dovetails Rick into the next point where my big issue has been the officiating this year has been so terrible. Talking about looking back, if you watched the Packers Steelers game last week, just two desperately terrible calls. And my frustration with that, if you don't know the play we're talking about, Steelers blocked a field goal. Ball never crossed the line of scrimmage. Ryan Clark picked up the ball, lateraled it back to somebody, I can't remember who.
Nobody, really.
Took a whack at it and hit it forward.
Ziggy Hood ended up taking a whack at it.
Which apparently is a penalty, which I don't understand why, but whatever. I won't. The rules are the rules. The competition committee set those. So they award possession to the Packers, along with a half a distance to the goal penalty and an automatic first down, giving them a shot in what ended up being an Eddie Lacy touchdown, which ended up being good for me, so I shouldn't be too upset. However, Ryan Clark had possessed the ball before possession had changed. So, unfortunately, the call was wrong. Mike Tomlin throws out the challenge flag. This play isn't reviewable. Rick, in this league, every time somebody scores, if somebody breaks off a run from 50 yards out, he doesn't have a guy within 80 yards of them. He runs through
it's
the back of the end
reviewable.
Zone. They stop the game for 15 seconds to look at it. But on this change of possession play inside the 10 and what at that point was a tie game, that's not reviewable?
Right.
Really? That's not reviewable? How many of these calls? Then at the end of the game, the Packers driving back down to tie it. They get that penalty. I believe there's 20 seconds left. They get a false start penalty, back them up, 10-second runoff.
Right.
Line judge or field judge or whichever judge sets the ball, winds the clock, tells the Packers center, don't touch the ball. It's 7 seconds before they get the ball snapped. They only get one play off. It goes incomplete, and they lose the game. That's one game. Look back to that Redskins debacle earlier where that they were driving down,
yeah.
They marked the ball short, called it a first down, then changed their mind later and say, oh, never mind, it's fourth down now, and the game ends that way. We've seen this constantly this
year.
What is going on?
Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis,
a replay.
Yeah, not down by contact when the guy grabbed his ankle.
On a replay. The officiating, Rick, if this league, with this replay, if they're going to take it down to, and we had this discussion with giving some guys some carry through, and plays can't stop in midair, and I had that whole rant a couple weeks back on this show, I won't get into
exactly.
It again. You've got to do better in live action. We can't replay everything. We can't do it. We can't take everything to this level. What's going on, and what can the league do about this?
It seems to me that the referees are relying so much on replay.
I think that's
they
what it
are
is.
Missing so many plays. But the worst part is, even when bozos like us at home are watching the replays and it's clear as crystal, they'll come back with just a total. And the announcers are saying, "Oh, this one will be overturned." Blah blah. And they'll come back. Oh no, it's confirmed. What film are they watching?
Well, then they get that jerk Mike Pereira on there who disagrees with anything the referee says.
Right.
That frustrates the heck out of me. It drives me nuts every week.
Yeah, and it goes back to what we were talking about a couple weeks ago, that they were looking at how the NHL does it, have one command center. Every review goes there. It may provide some consistency. It may be wrong,
right.
But at least it may be consistent.
And that's the biggest problem, I think, outside. Look, these guys got a hard job. This game moves 1,000 miles an hour.
I have to go to your point, and I think that would clear up a whole bunch of stuff. If the booth referee or whatever you want to call him, what do they call him, the booth reviewer or something like that.
Replay official.
The replay official. Why don't they call him like the replay decision judge or replay judge or something.
Replay
whatever.
God. Replay
like you
czar.
Said, if the referee happens to be the guy that throws the flag, but the play is protested and it's under review, he's the guy that goes under the hood and looks at the play. Like your point a couple of weeks ago, he's already going into that tent with the mindset, I've made this call.
Yeah.
I know what it is. So it should be, all authority should be transferred to this guy in the booth.
I couldn't agree
who
more.
Who overrides everybody, whoever threw the flag, the field judge, a back judge, whatever, he overrides everybody.
Which they do for the most part in college football. There's a few conferences, not many, where they're going under the hood. You kick it up the
right.
replay, or in the NHL, they kick it to Toronto, and the decision is made for them
right.
by somebody who has who hasn't been getting cursed out by this coach for the last 4.5 hours.
Yeah, and you got to think, the guy in Toronto in the NHL, he probably just saw a play from Winnipeg and Dallas, and now all of a sudden Toronto and Detroit send him a play. He has no idea what's going on in the game. He is just a neutral guy looking at a play, doesn't even know what the call is, probably.
Because I think that can happen, Rick. I've umpired some baseball, refereed a lot of basketball games. You can get caught up in the emotion of the game. I've blown some whistles on some fouls on a team on a run, on a drive, a guy goes up for a layup, there's weak contact, and you get caught up in it, and you blow the whistle, you give them the and one. It can happen. These guys, they're professionals, I understand that. You can get caught up in the emotion of the game. Going back to that
But they're human.
Yeah, right. Going back to that Golden Tate Hail Mary last season, if you remember, that sort of propelled Seattle season.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. The referee got caught up in the emotion of that. I really do. It happens. It's not at that level, but it's happened to me.
Sure, it can happen. They're human beings, and like you say, you get caught up in that, and that's why you should have this overriding authority and a neutral one.
Right.
Like you said, it goes to Toronto and or wherever they want to have it. I suggest Canton. I think that's the appropriate headquarters for the
We're available, 646-478-4679.
Yeah, and I know the rules of football.
I know most of them.
Yeah, we know enough to get by.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah, give us a book. We'll be fine.
Right. But I just think it should be neutralized looking at this every time and override whoever threw the flag.
No doubt about it. All right, Rick, and real quick before we go to break here, we'll run a little over in this segment. We'll shorten up the third one. Parity. Do you like this? There's most of the divisions, there's still a few divisions haven't been wrapped up. These wild cards, the seedings, nothing's even close to being wrapped up this year, Rick. Do you like that?
Yes.
I hate it.
I don't. I love the fact that there's salary caps. I love the fact that teams have a chance. There is nothing more boring to me than September baseball, for the most part. I'm not saying every single division and every single year, but just about every year you can count the Red Sox, you can count the Dodgers, you can count the Yankees normally. These big market teams are always the ones.
Right.
And you might as well just count out, with the exception of Pittsburgh this year.
Yeah.
And they'll probably be around for a year or two, but sooner or later they're going to run out of money and they're going to have to
slip back.
Yeah. You might as well count out Pittsburgh. You count out Milwaukee. You count out Cleveland. You count out Minnesota. Cleveland, not so much, but Minnesota, Kansas City. I mean, you can count out half the league. And every Chicago team, for whatever reason, I don't know, but that's beside the point.
That one.
And to me, it is just so far down on watchable sports. I can't stand it. And I like parity. I like the fact that, a small market team, let's face it, Pittsburgh is a small market city.
Right.
Yet they have the stability to be an NFL power every year.
But that's nothing that the league gerrymandered. That is something the Steelers built through good management, et cetera.
But it's not the same as baseball.
You're right.
If you went to New York, how long do you think Green Bay or Pittsburgh or some of these places would last if, like, the New York Giants could spend $500 million where you have a payroll of $80
million? Well, you're right, and I agree with that. But some of the things that I don't know what the solution is. I really don't know. I think it has more to do with the rules, sort of going back to what we've been talking about before, making everybody so offensively good. I like great teams. I do.
Oh, I do too.
This is why I like college basketball. You can write down 7 of the top 10 every single year without thinking. But these teams don't always win the national championship. That's what's great about the NCAA tournament. I think in the NFL, especially the last year or two, every game's a coin flip. Every game. There's no upsets. What's an upset to you at this point? There really isn't one.
Well, yeah, there are. I mean, Denver.
Not huge. Are you ever shocked?
Sure.
I'm never shocked.
Sure,
anymore.
I'm shocked. When Indianapolis went out to Seattle and beat them, I was shocked. Quite frankly, I was shocked.
Yeah. But that's because of where they were playing.
Well, it's still a shock. When Denver got beat any week, I get shocked, quite frankly. Yeah, I mean,
you know what it comes down to for me, and it's probably good for the league. It's not probably good for the league. It is good for the league. It's good for the financial health of the league. We were talking about wrestling, yeah, studio wrestling, WWE stuff before we went on the air today. I like my world. Maybe it's because I'm dumb, as you brought up earlier in the show. I like my world. There's good guys and there's bad guys. When everybody's the same, it's hard to have a good guy and a bad guy. I like when New England's just trucking people and then the Giants shock them in the Super Bowl. I love stuff like that. I don't think you get a lot of that in the NFL anymore. Well, so that's another topic for another day, Rick. We got to take a break. We will be right back. All right, and we are back on the Armed Forces Radio Network. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. Last segment of the show, Rick, and I think although there's going to be some championships this week, by and large, Week 16 was the championship week, and we want to talk championship stories, big wins, bad beats, everything that goes around it, the torture that that Monday night game was for me and so many others. That's where I want to spend my time to finish up the show.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start and finish us.
Oh, no question about it. So as the world, to me, revolves around me, I'm going to start with me. So, Rick, a league we talked about, I spent some time, it almost came completely unglued. My first fantasy football league dating back to, oh, Rick, I want to say 1998, 1999 is when that league started. And when I got into fantasy football, the Dewey Melon Ball, they call it, kind of weird. If you knew the original commissioner, you'd understand. So how long is that, Rick? 14, 15 years in that league. I have never even played for the championship. I had over that span four 13-1 seasons, got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, each and every one of them. Couldn't get there, just snake bit in that league, just terrible. Finally this year, Rick, thanks to Mr. Josh Gordon and Mr. Eddie Lacy, two surprises that I wasn't starting the first two or three weeks of the year, came on, I made some good decisions, they got me there. So I get to my championship, I rolled in the first round of the playoffs, rolled in the second round of the playoffs, got into the championship, had a terrible week, just a terrible week. Lost them, didn't end up playing MJD, I was afraid to play him, I started Dennis Johnson in my flex, you know how that worked out for me.
Right.
Yeah, poor quarterback play. Eddie Lacy and Dez Bryant saved me. Josh Gordon getting 97, I could have used anyhow. Finish up Sunday night. Adrian Peterson, fortunately, was on the opposing squad, had a terrible game. He had DeSean Jackson on Sunday night. I figured if DeSean Jackson even has a reasonable game, I'm eliminated. DeSean Jackson was a disaster. For as good as that Philadelphia team was, they put up 50 points. DeSean Jackson was non-existent. So the fantasy gods are smiling on me. I am down 8 going into Monday night. He's done. I've got the 49ers D. 8's a decent amount for a defense, but I'm fairly confident I'm going to get this. Game starts. I get my automatic 18 plugged in. I'm down by 10, and this is the worst thing in fantasy football if you've ever had to do this. They can't score in all likelihood for you. You just watch them tick down one
and as
by
you
one
pointed
by
out,
one.
As you pointed out before we went on the air, your scoring system doesn't lose points by giving up massive amounts of yards, only points.
Fortunately,
correct?
Or I'd have lost.
You're right.
I'd have lost that game. Yeah, it was only points. It used to be yardage used to be included. That was a change this year as we had a change in commissioner. As I stepped down, go back and listen to shows from last year. I won't get into that disaster of a story from last season. So things are going around. Only one sack, 49ers aren't turning them over, Falcons are moving the ball but not scoring. I get into the second half, I'm up 6-ish somewhere in there. Then in the fourth quarter, off they go, off the Falcons go. They score once, now I'm up by 2. Tony Gonzalez scores. Now the good thing about the Tony Gonzalez score is, and this is why I hate being in multiple leagues, it wins me that Tony Gonzalez touchdown, seals my victory in the Fantasy Greek Invitational,
yes.
I believe it was called.
Yes, it
and
was.
Thank you to the Greek for having us on there. It sealed my victory there. However, put me a point behind defensively. Or no, a point up. I'm 1 point up, my defense is. Excuse me, I'm getting choked up. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah,
Atlanta gets the ball back. They start driving again. They're inside the 10. I'm thinking even a field goal, Rick, and they were down 10, so they'd have taken a field goal or a touchdown. It didn't matter. third down, I'm up one, my season's over. I am already lamenting what the terrible lineup decisions I made in starting Dennis Johnson in week 17. I'm writing my rant for this very episode. And what happens, as Matt Ryan did all year, throws an interception on third down when all they needed was a field goal to get it to one possession game, return for a touchdown. I'm running around my basement. You should see this. Just running in circles, fist pumping, Tiger Woods style. Finally, the long national nightmare is over. I, Rick Fleeger, the Pleasantville Evil, are the champions of the Dewey Mellon Ball Fantasy Football League. Agony, Rick. 3.5 hours of pure agony.
Yeah, I can imagine. That was a gruesome game to watch anyway. But, congratulations. And as the listeners know, we started way back when in the preseason. On the all the Asylumites, you know, we drew to get into a listener's league to take down Fleeger and Briggs for a fabulous prize package.
Fabulous prizes,
including
too.
All kinds of Asylumite gizmos and
and widgets.
Yeah, things that every Asylumite could use.
Yeah, I'm gonna write that down. Gizmos
and
widgets.
Fortunately for you.
Yeah.
The Asylum.
They took me down hard.
They took you down like with a cement block. But the old ball coach kind of hung in there, and I took the title.
Steady as a rock.
So we don't have
it a close game? I was eliminated from that thing in week 6, and I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the playoffs.
Now,
run.
Actually, the Super Bowl was sort of anticlimactic.
Yeah, like the old 80s Super Bowls in the NFL.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But But anyway, I happened to take that title and retained our status as at least we know what we're talking about. And, yeah, congratulations on taking the Fantasy Greek Invitational. That's impressive.
Yeah, that's a big one. There was some fantasy luminaries in that league. I believe it was the Greek himself who I met for the championship.
Yes, indeed.
Just
we
a battle.
We have to get the Greek back on.
Yeah, no doubt. He was a great guest.
Yes,
I enjoyed having him on. But, Rick, it reminded me of the epic battle in 2009 between you and I in the League of Consequence, the Caveman Fantasy Football League, in which I believe you finished third by a half a point. It wasn't for a championship, but there's a good story that I bet not the only cat this happened to.
We will hit that, and if you think that kickers aren't important and scoring systems aren't important, I always urge you to pay attention. Now, this certainly isn't anything that you could predict. But in our league of consequence, in our scoring system, if a kicker misses a field goal under 30 yards, you lose a point.
As you well should.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Steven Hoschka has been a pretty solid kicker all year long. Well, if you saw in the game against the Cardinals, I can't remember the exact yards, but I believe it was a 22-yarder.
It was a short one.
Yeah.
It was an extra point, basically.
He missed it, and, of course, my opponent lost the point. I won third place by half a point.
Half a point. And in the Caveman League, there's significant financial ties.
Yes,
third
indeed.
Place.
And I was, like you, lamenting my poor lineup decision-making because I had benched Roddy White in favor of MJD, who was declared active. And I thought, well, I just don't trust Roddy White against that San Francisco. He goes off like a bomb.
13 grabs, I believe, just went insane and almost cost me the Dewey Mellon ball, that's for certain.
But I did at least yank down third anyway. After scoring the week before, my second highest total for the year for one game and got taken down by the eventual champion. So, I mean, it's not like I didn't go out of the fight. But
Yeah, that was definitely brutal. You have Jamal Charles go off for in the 60s. Everyone else performed fairly well and got yourself eliminated.
Yeah.
That's how the two championships I won this week, I didn't get over $110 in either one of them. I was that far down. I think offense was down this week, save for Philadelphia.
Yeah,
but just a lot of down things, so a lot of excitement, too close for comfort. Rick, I have never won a championship by more than 10 points. It is like this constantly. I beat you by fractions of points in 2009 in the Caveman.
We will bore people for the next 20 years talking about that game. The Brett Favre, when he's with Minnesota.
You had Sidney Rice.
I had Sidney Rice going in that last game, and it went back. And we were back and forth.
Oh, yeah, within a point either direction for the entire second. I remember it like it was yesterday. Last drive, I believe Minnesota was driving down, trying to tie or win the game, if I'm not mistaken. So Brett Favre, of course, I'm in a tough situation. Brett Favre throwing, you have his receiver. You get more points, obviously, right, for every reception, and that's what kept happening to me. One more completion to Sidney Rice, and my season was over, and I had to sit across the table from you as the runner-up. Yes. Fortunately, he throws to the sure-handed Adrian Peterson with about a minute to go in the flat. Adrian Peterson runs out, fumbles. I darn near jumped through the ceiling, Rick. I was so excited. Ended it. It was over. A point, what was it? You probably remember. 0.64, if I remember right.
No, I thought it was 0.16.
Oh, 0.16. Yeah. I believe 0.16, you're right. It was that close. So that's how I win my championships. I get to sweat it out to the bitter end.
But all in all, it wasn't a bad year for the Asylum. You actually got runner-up in the Shane Hallam's Early Bird Fanatics Dynasty,
yeah,
or IDP League.
IDP Dynasty League, I believe.
I made
both
it in the quarterfinals in the FFA Oasis Invitational and barely got kicked out of the semifinals.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed with that.
Another close game.
But
there.
Hey, enough of us. Going into this last week, you know, we were talking about some of the teams that may rest some players, you know. I want to look at some of the matchups going into Week 17.
All right.
And we hit on a couple. You know, Denver's at Oakland. One of the games that is extremely must-see TV to me is San Francisco at Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, huge. Talk about implications up and down. Arizona wins, and they still may be out.
At 11-5,
and
the hottest team in the league right now.
Right. San Francisco wins. I think they can still take the division.
Yeah, with a Seattle loss.
Right. And Seattle is playing at home against the Rams. Probably not a good scenario for them to lose.
But you never know with the Rams. We talk about that every Sunday on the Slant.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Kansas City. That's the big topic that we were talking about. They're playing at San Diego. Kansas City cannot change. They cannot win the division, and nobody wild card wise can catch them in a record. So they're going to be the fifth seed, period. Are you gambling Jamaal Charles if you're in a week 17 Super Bowl?
Without knowing who I have on the bench.
I'm going to give you a couple of...
throw a couple names.
Say you had Jamaal Charles, and say maybe you happen to have DeMarco Murray. So now you're going to have DeMarco Murray as your RB1.
He's my number one with a bullet, yes.
Okay, do you go with Andre Brown?
Andre Brown going up again.
Home against the Skins.
I'm going Andre Brown there, Rick.
All right.
I got one for you. Speaking of Browns, Donald Brown.
At home against Jacksonville, I think I'd go Donald Brown.
Yeah, I...
Okay, how about Pierre Thomas at home against Tampa Bay?
I think I take my chances with Jamaal Charles there. I think half of Jamaal Charles is better than all of Pierre Thomas.
Okay.
With Mark Ingram getting his touches, Darren Sproles still being there. I don't trust the Pierre Thomas.
I'm not
sure
anyone would have a Pierre Thomas as an RB3, but you never know with injuries.
Certainly.
Yeah, but I think you see our point.
D'Angelo Williams. What he did last week?
I'd have to go D'Angelo.
I'd go Jamaal Charles first. D'Angelo had a nice week last week, but he did what D'Angelo Williams has to do to have a good week, is bust a long one because he's not going to get the ball inside the 20.
I agree.
Like Jamaal Charles there.
What if he doesn't play? You're in the Super Bowl. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, he may. Andy Reid's saying he's going to give the starter some playing time, but we don't know how much or even if that's true. So, yeah, it's iffy, no doubt about it.
Sean Green.
I'd have to go Jamaal Charles.
I think I would too, but boy, I tell you, with the goal line work he's getting – Chris Johnson, I mean, it's agonizing. I have him on a lot of fantasy teams. It's agonizing watching some of the Tennessee games. They get inside the 20, and you look in there, he's not in the game. It's like, oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to be very favorable, but I think you have to go with Charles.
A guy we talked about at the top of the show, no Sean Marino.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think I'd have one of those guys on the bench.
Probably not.
Probably not a great example.
No. But, I mean, he's in the same situation, so I'd probably still gamble with Charles.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Whoever ends up starting in Houston this week, be it Johnson or I'm blanking on the other kid's name, that's tough.
I know. It's just terrible. But, you know, these are some of the things, but we're going to be following it the whole way through until Sunday. So tune into the Sunday Inside Slant.
Where I will be reporting live, Rick. I will not be in studio once again, but I will be checking in live from Heinz Field where the Steelers will take on the Cleveland Browns.
Unfortunately, I will be commanding the boards and computers and everything
else. Hopefully he doesn't take the show off the air when Scott Fish leaves us this time.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, things happen.
That's right. Live and learn. So we are out of time, Rick. Thanks to everyone at the Armed Forces Radio Network. Check them out, armedforcesradionetwork.co, at the AFRN on Twitter.
Give them a follow on Twitter.
Absolutely. Check us out at Asylum Football, asylumfantasysports.com. We will be back Sunday on The Slant. Until then, we'll see you.
Take care.